The first completely partisan impeachment in U.S. history has finally come to a close. What do Jewish ethics have to say about how this all happened? What can we do to heal the country? How do we bring it back together? Even with all my partisan biases in favor of the president, I want to try to be as neutral as possible. Today, on the Moral Heritage Podcast. Requiem for a partisan impeachment. What can we say and what can we learn from this experience after the fact, and how do we hope to bring the country back together? Of course, I have my biases. In my eyes, President Trump has been the biggest friend the Jews have ever had in the White House at this point, certainly in Israel, even in the United States. It's just been an amazing transition coming after the era of his predecessor. And it's certainly not one that I would want to see come to a premature end. But even so, I want to go with some neutral, basic principles of ethics and moral values and wonder, how could this ever have happened? And some of this is stuff that I've commented upon previously, but at the same time, there's new material here also about concepts that I think were just shoved to the wayside, that we ignored in anything of this nature, in any justice system, in any system of justice that applies to any citizen, much less a president or other world leader. First principle, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Justice, justice shall you pursue. That's the biblical mandate. The biblical mandate says you should set everyone up in a system of equal justice. If you detect criminal activity, well, then you address it as you come across it. But you don't target somebody. You don't go looking for an excuse to stick somebody in front of a judge. That's not how it's supposed to work. I want to share with you something that, yes, I mentioned this in a previous article, but a friend of mine posted on Twitter. Here's the quote. I so want to believe that Lev Parnas has handed us the smoking gun, but I fear we are once again being led down the primrose path, as we have been at almost every turn since November 8th, 2016. So what he's saying is, we've been looking for the opportunity. We've been looking for the excuse to get rid of this bad guy who we don't like. And we're so hoping that Lev Parnas will be the guy who gets it done for us. And of course, when that didn't work out, well, we're so hoping that John Bolton will be the guy who gets it done for us. But that's not how justice is done. Justice is done by placing everybody on an equal scale and not targeting people. You know who said, show me the man and I will show you the crime? That comes from Lavrenti Beria. Who was Lavrenti Beria? He was the chief of the secret police to Joseph Stalin. The Stalin show trials, that's how they operated. Show me the man and I'll show you the crime. I will find an excuse. You don't like this guy. You want to get rid of him. I'm going to stick him in front of a judge and explain to the world why he's a bad person and we should get rid of him. In those cases, they got rid of him off to Siberia. In this case, it was try to boot the guy out of office. The idea that the Washington Post could publish a headline on November 8, November 9, 2016, that the campaign to impeach the president has begun. That's completely the opposite of how a justice system is supposed to work. And similarly, when Rashida Tlaib says, we're going to go to Washington and impeach the bleep, and this was before the Ukraine phone call ever took place. You know, it's crazy far from the way the justice system is designed to operate. The president was not wrong to call this a witch hunt, because from the beginning they were hunting for the right excuse to remove him from office and conduct an impeachment. So it was a foregone conclusion at that point that once the House was controlled by Democrats and controlled by Democrats beholden to people like AOC, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar, well, okay, so of course we're going to do things that completely violate how justice is supposed to operate. And that's the way, that's how we got here. So first principle violated is this principle of pursuing justice. The second one is even more basic. Honesty. Midvar sheker tirchak. From a lie you shall distance yourself. You're not supposed to associate yourself with lies and with liars. And what do I mean by a liar? Well, you remember this Russia collusion investigation of the president? Who was in charge of that nonsense in the House of Representatives? Well, none other than Representative Adam Schiff, who said in 2017 that there is more than circumstantial evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. And in 2018, he said there is an abundance of evidence against Trump. And in 2019, before the Mueller investigation came to its striking conclusion, Schiff said there is, quote-unquote, direct evidence of Trump collusion with Russia. Which it's very interesting how this thing steamrolled, because in 2017, when Chuck Todd of MSNBC asked Representative Schiff directly, have you seen direct evidence of collusion? Schiff sort of evaded the question. Meanwhile, in 2019, he said, oh, no, we have direct evidence. Now, what he did say along the way was that this is not public information, implying that he, because he's on the Intelligence Committee, he has access to information that we don't, which is classified, and which would show, if we would see it, we would know that there was, in fact, Russia collusion. Was he telling the truth? Was he telling the truth in 2017? Was he telling the truth in 2018? Was he telling the truth in 2019? According to Robert Mueller, the answer to that question is a very emphatic no. He was not being honest. There was no Russia collusion to speak of. If there was no Russia collusion, that means that the man was lying to us repeatedly, again and again and again. And after the Mueller report came out, here's a quote from the Washington Post. This is hardly a right-wing journal, right? Over the past year, 2 years, Schiff has emerged as a public foil to Trump and his supporters. And skip to a later point. Yet even as House Democrats make a clear pivot away from the collusion question, in other words, every other Democrat said this is not worth touching anymore, they continue to rally around Schiff, who refuses to let the matter go until lawmakers can assess the investigative materials that informed Mueller's findings. In other words, we want the evidence that Mueller found because we don't like the conclusion that he reached. He said there was no collusion, but I've been telling people for 3 years there was collusion, therefore I better find it. What happened to those Russia hearings? What happened to the collusion hearings? They disappeared. They vanished off the face of the earth the day after the revelation of Trump's Ukraine phone call. We have a new excuse. We have a new reason to go after it. And who did they put in charge of that investigation? Nancy Pelosi puts in charge the same guy who has been lying about President Trump for 3 years. It's crazy. A madness. Can you imagine? You're interested in justice. You're interested in truth. You're interested in getting to the point. And this is the guy you put in charge of the investigation? That should be an embarrassment to anybody who believes in a justice system and simply the idea that certainly on the prosecutor's side, you ought to be interested in telling the truth. We all understand that defense lawyers lie. We all understand that defendants lie. But the prosecution is supposed to be about the truth. Again, the idea here is not to come across like the Stalin show trials. The idea here is to actually execute justice. And for justice to be executed, the prosecution has to be telling the truth. We had, as lead prosecutor, the lead House manager in this impeachment trial, a guy who had been lying about the president from 2017 at least, all the way into 2019. That's madness. That's not the way truth gets told. And here's another interesting thing. We all know that Adam Schiff read out into the transcript in the House Intelligence Committee an entirely false transcript of the actual phone call that Trump had with Ukraine. Donald Trump said, "I want you to do us a favor. I want you to do our country a favor." And the assumption was, "Oh, no, I want you to do me a favor." And the way that it was read out by Adam Schiff was like a mafia mob boss. Now, you can say that, okay, that was just parody. He was just exaggerating. Oh, no. When Nancy Pelosi forwarded the articles of impeachment over onto to the Senate, she said, you know, "I want you to do us a favor. Do me a favor." Who says that? And, of course, that's not what the president had ever said. So what happened to truth along the way? Nancy Pelosi is no more interested in telling the truth than Adam Schiff is. This is so dishonest. And by the way, the idea that this is a sober moment and it's very serious and we're very sad to have reached this occasion, you know, we've all seen Rashida Tlaib's video. We've seen how Nancy Pelosi chortled as she handed out pens. And of course, we go back to this idea that they had been wanting to find an excuse to impeach the president since 2016. That's telling the truth to say it was a sober moment and something they didn't want to have happen? The problem here that I'm having is that the people who believe that he should have been impeached include decent, moral, upstanding individuals. And I don't get it. I don't get it from the perspective of you're supposed to pursue justice and not do a show trial. And the idea that you're not supposed to tell a lie. And you're not supposed to, certainly in a situation of prosecution. It's amazing to me. These are the same people who are telling us that Trump lied over and over and over. He's telling lies about this, that, and look. It's one thing to tell a lie about the size of your inauguration, the size of your hands, the size of your tax cut, anything else. It's another thing to lie when you're slandering a person and destroying their life. Doesn't it strike you that there's sometimes when a lie is actually not just a white lie, like a harmless lie, but actually something you're supposed to tell for the sake of peace? For example, do I look fat in this dress? Do not, if you are a husband and you value your marriage, do not answer that question honestly. Now, by the way, disclaimer here, my wife knows this. She would never ask me, do I look fat in this dress? Because there's certain things you know not to ask if you're one of those insightful women who understand how this works. But the point is that if you are actually asked this question, you know that you can't tell the truth. There's certain times you're supposed to lie. There's certain times it's harmless to lie. And there's certain times when you're lying to destroy somebody. And that's intolerable. That's not how the world is supposed to run. And this is the craziness in which we find ourselves. And then there's a third principle that goes with this and goes right into the actual Senate trial itself, which is the principle, "Havedan et kol adam lekaf zchut." Well, now, let me translate that one too. You should judge every person favorably. In every situation where you can interpret how a person acted in multiple ways, there's multiple ways to interpret that behavior. And some of them are good and some of them are not so good. Unless you know that this person is generally a bad dude, you don't go out of your way to interpret it badly. It seems like when it comes to Trump, simply because he's a conservative, simply because he's a Republican, simply because he's right-wing, whatever it might be, they've decided that that means he's evil. And anything he says that can be interpreted in multiple ways. Look, they stretch themselves into a pretzel. We know that, for example, when he said that there were fine people on both sides in Charlottesville, and there actually were people who came there just to protest that you should not be tearing down Confederate statues who had nothing to do with white supremacists or, and this is a New York Times interview, by the way. They had an interview with a woman who said she came down with a carload of people and they wanted to protest the idea that anybody would want to tear down that statue. Terrible idea. No, we're not white supremacists. We have nothing to do with racism. We have nothing to do with Nazis. We just don't want to have our history torn down. Well, if that's the case, then there really were decent people on both sides. And by the way, there really were bad people on both sides in Charlottesville. And yet, all of a sudden, you have this narrative that the president called neo-Nazis fine people. That's absolutely the opposite of what he said. People said, what were you talking about? He says, look, I'm not talking about the white supremacists and neo-Nazis. They should be condemned totally. And yet, to this day, you will have people insisting that he said neo-Nazis are fine people. It's slander. It's disgusting. It's outrageous. And just because he's a conservative or right-wing Republican, therefore he's a bad person, and therefore we can assume the very worst about what he said or what he meant. And you saw that on display in this entire Ukraine phone call nonsense. And I call it nonsense primarily for one reason, because Vladimir Zelensky told us so. They actually asked him, you know, they asked Vladimir Zelensky, did you feel under pressure? Did you feel it was inappropriate? Was it a quid pro quo? Were you under pressure to do what the president was demanding of you? And he said, no, it was a friendly phone call. It was a great phone call. We had a good time. So, you know, there were dozens of people on this call. Most of these dozens of people, including the two principals themselves, say there was no pressure. There was no problem. There was no nothing. We have one whistleblower saying, oh, no, this call was problematic, it was pressure. And that's the one we're going to believe. This phone call could absolutely be looked at in multiple ways. Is it appropriate for a president to investigate corruption? Is it appropriate for a president to investigate corruption in another country? Is it appropriate for a president to investigate whether one of his own citizens was involved in corruption in another country, especially if that person was at one point in a leadership role in his home country? All of these things are obviously acceptable. It's even acceptable, dare I say, that if this person might be your potential opponent for your job, and you think he might be a crook, but legitimately, not because you're campaigning against him, but because you believe that this guy might be a crook and therefore somehow dangerous to the United States because he's involved in corruption, do you really want a corrupt president? I don't. So is it appropriate for the president to want to know? Well, yeah. All of those things are appropriate, and they don't become less appropriate because the guy is running to be president of the United States. They actually become more relevant. And I just don't understand this idea that it's somehow horrible because, oh, you know, totally ulterior motive, totally for his own interests. Wait a minute, what happened to the United States here? Does the country not matter to these people? Does it, the idea that a president cannot ask, he was not asking for dirt to be dug up a la Adam Schiff. He was asking for the truth to come out. Was Burisma involved in the corruption? Was the corruption in the Ukraine somehow involved with Biden's son? These are all legitimate questions. Now, should he have asked it? Should he have just placed it in the context of the larger issue of corruption? Maybe even mention Burisma and don't mention Biden? Maybe. Yeah, I can see that. It's a good argument. But that's impeachable. That's illegal. That's wrong. That's destroying the, you know, come on. What happened to judging people favorably? If a person is basically out looking for the best interests of the United States, and nobody can doubt. I mean, this is the guy who renegotiated deals that could not be done with the Canadians, with them and the Mexicans, with the new North American trade agreement, the USMCA, rather than the old NAFTA. And he's renegotiated NATO. And he's renegotiated relationships with North Korea. You know, Rocket Man was going to bring us World War III, and instead it brought us the president being the first standing president to visit North Korea. You know, again and again, he's proven himself to be looking out for the best interests of the United States. And you're going to assume that he had only evil intentions and his own re-election in mind. That's not how it works. For all of these three reasons, you should pursue justice, you should stay away from lies, and you should judge every person favorably. Now, so how does a person who shares those moral values decide that pursuing the president was the right thing to do? I simply don't get it. And that's why, you know, when it comes to what is necessary to do to heal this divide and bring the country back together, unfortunately, I think that rests with the people who felt that this was a great idea. Said, oh, no, he was so evil, he was so wrong. Wait a minute, if you judge people favorably, was what he did so evil and so wrong? If you're really interested in pursuing and seeking justice, why are you so happy with a prosecutor who was known to have told lies about the president for years? And if you're interested in equal justice, how is it that you pursued this guy? You know, they say, oh, the stain of impeachment. He was never impeached by an impartial group. He was impeached by a completely partisan clown show, is the expression people are using. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong. That's what we need to get past. That's how we need to heal the country. And yeah, I know that this is a controversial topic. I said that at the outset. But, you know, it's something where I see that Jewish ethics tell me a certain thing despite all my partisan biases towards the president. You know, if you believe in equal justice, you wouldn't want to see this done to Obama either. If you believe in staying away from lies, I don't believe you should lie about Bernie Sanders. And if you want to judge everybody favorably until you know that they're a bad person, trust me, we were very happy to say wonderful things about people like AOC or Ilhan Omar until they showed their colors in an unambiguous way that you can't deny. And that'll be a topic for another podcast. So, again, I hope you enjoy being with me. You see already that this is going to happen more than once a week because there's just too much to talk about. But I hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back soon with another show.